Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
No pressure, no pressure. Hallelujah. It's kind of quiet in here this morning. Oh, last night, I want to say, my wife is amazing, and she is the best pastor in the house, hallelujah. You know, we co-pastor, just like Starlene and her husband, they co-pastor, and she is definitely called to pastor, but my wife is passionate about this church and passionate about the church. She loves the church, and last night was, you know, one of the biggest events, women's events we ever had. Had over 55 women come. And Jan Smith and her team prepared an amazing meal. Starlene gave an amazing message and prayer time and prophecy time. And it was just great. You know, we believe in God for a revival, but we're actually having a revival in our women's ministry. And one of the reasons is because my wife never gives up. She never gives up. For years, I don't know how many years, she's held a Bible study in our home with two, sometimes one woman, starting out the women's ministry. Today, on Thursday morning, there's a whole group of women meeting, and from that group, Kara and Joanne and all the ladies meeting together, and Jan and all the other ladies meeting together, forgive me if I forgot your name, but from that group, they have prayed to create this amazing women's ministry that is really making an impact on people's lives. And, you know, I talk about things like bridge events, like the Halloween alternative event that we did, Trunk or Treat. Sibylle actually is out there passing out flyers to these ladies who never have come to our church, and a lady actually showed up to the women's event from the Trunk or Treat Halloween thing the other night, you know? And I'm thinking, she's amazing. She's persistent. Amen. And she believes God for this community and for this church. And I love her very much. And she's the best. Amen. Hallelujah. We have another really woman of God in the house. Her name's Tasha. She's been here a number of times before. Come on up, Tasha. So Tasha grew up in our youth group in Washington and in our church there and was a leader in our youth group. She just spent over 13 years as a missionary teaching in a Christian school in Bulgaria. And she's in transition right now, seeking God's will for her life, but 13 years dedicated there. I just want her to greet you and give you a word of inspiration this morning.
So. Awesome. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here. Oh, you guys look great this morning. It's so different sitting on the front row because you just look at Bob, and he always looks good, but you guys look fantastic. So it's great to be here. I was telling Sibylle, I was actually, you know, the devil throws things at you that look really good to get you away from what's really great. So I was actually invited to be scuba diving right now in the Red Sea and swimming with dolphins. And I did pray for the sun to come, so at least it relieved a little stress. But you guys have just as bad weather as we do in Seattle, so that's awesome. But no, I really just felt very strongly that I was supposed to be here this weekend and met a new pastor friend from my area, actually. We've never met in Tacoma, so I had to come to Oregon to make that connection. So I'm really glad to be here and just so grateful for all you guys. I heard so many stories about the majority of you last night of how great you are and how supportive you are. And just so it's good to be here and see all your faces. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right. Are you ready for the word this morning? Ooh, yeah. Everybody say I'm ready. You know, we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and we talked about speaking in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Last week we began. And you can get all three of those messages online for free, as always. iTunes, Stitcher, they're all on different venues where you can pull them off and listen to them on your phone. If you have an Android phone, Stitcher actually works better than, well, you can't do iTunes right on Android, so Stitcher actually works well to listen to the messages. So I want to talk this morning about the power of your testimony. The power of your testimony. And I gave this message to the youth on Wednesday night, and it was just like one of those messages where you need to preach that on Sunday too. And a little bit different, but same concept. Your testimony and what you've been through as a believer is powerful. And when I first received Christ as my Savior, almost 30 years ago now, I used that testimony as God wanted me to, and eventually leading most of my family to Christ. I was the first one to be a born-again Christian in our family. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and no one had, even though there was born-again, spirit-filled believers in our Catholic Church, they never really explained to me what they were doing at that meeting on Monday night. And although I remember them trying, I can remember people coming up to me and throwing around the word born again, and I'd be like, that's a cult. You're crazy, those born again people. Because I was warned to stay away from them. Because those are just radical people, you know? And so perhaps it was me pushing them away, even though there was bunch of born-again people in the church I grew up in. But it wasn't taught from the pulpit, and I didn't understand it. But I'll never forget, you know, we grew up going to the beach every year, Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. This summer it was so hot, there would be literally on one weekend, there would be 100,000 people on the beach. Like, there's no place to put your blanket. When you come to Oregon, you're like, wow, there's nobody here, you know? It's like I can actually walk down to the water, you know? But pretty much, you know, you're doing this, you know, trying to get down to the water. There's so many people. And at nighttime, we would go out and we'd go to the arcades, spend our money, get the tickets so we can go, you know, buy the prizes. Anybody ever been there? You know, it's like arcade every night. My mom kind of saved rolls of quarters, you know, and she would give us so much money every night. We'd go to the arcades. And back then, they just let you go. You know, they weren't worried about you being abducted and, you know, you didn't have to stay right by their side. I mean, even in elementary school, we'd leave a cottage that we rented, and we'd go out. And, I mean, you had to come home at a certain time when you get in trouble. But I'll never forget, I'm with my brother, and we're walking on the boardwalk, and these two young guys come up to us, and they start witnessing to us. I didn't know it was witnessing at the time, but they started talking to us. And they said, you know, they started quoting the scripture, "You must be born again," John 3:7. And I said, "Born again?" I said, no, I'm Catholic, you know? And so I quickly moved away from these crazy people. Later to find out that they were living in a home with YWAM on the beach, and they did it every summer as a mission project. But you know what? Those seeds of hearing, being born again, receiving Christ as your Savior, those seeds are what got me to eventually receive Christ and got me to the place where I am today, because there were people who were passionate and bold about their faith. They were not afraid to share their testimony. They were not afraid to live their faith out in public. There's a good, Chuck shared a video, and I actually reposted it on City Park Church, about the guy preaching, you know, like in the Max train kind of thing. It's like amazing. And people are listening, you know. Just bold, just confident in knowing who he is and what Christ has done in his life. And so my testimony, after I had received Christ as my Savior, I had prayed. I said, "God, please help me to witness to my family, because I want them to go to heaven. I want them to know Christ like I know Christ." And I prayed that you would give me the time individually with each of my family members to witness to them and share my testimony. So I can remember with my mom, you know. I can remember sitting in my dad's old truck with him. He had like an old Blazer, you know, that he loved, and sharing the gospel with him. And I can remember talking to my sister and actually praying with her and leading her to Christ. And then she later on, a few days later, gets filled with the Spirit. Eventually she goes to Bible school, same Bible school as we went to. I can remember my other sister, and just down the line, God providing opportunities to share the gospel. Because at first, they thought I was crazy. At first, they thought, oh my gosh, he's got Jesus. You know, I talked about Jesus all the time, and my mom and dad were frustrated, right? And my mom eventually said to me, she goes, I don't want to hear the name of Jesus in this house again. And she goes to church every Sunday. I'm like, so you know what I did? I actually bought my mom a Bible. And I said, okay, mom, you don't want to hear the name of Jesus. So here, I bought you this Bible. If you want to understand what I'm going through, here, read this. Literally, that's what I did. Eventually, my mom confessed Christ as her Savior. But when she died, we actually have that Bible that my wife uses. Powerful. But our testimony is powerful. And God wants to use you with your friends, your relatives, and those around you to lead them to Christ. Hallelujah. That's where real hope comes from. We can give people good advice, and we can counsel them psychologically and help them through crisis situations, but true peace and true satisfaction comes from knowing him personally, from accepting, not just attending church, but becoming a passionate believer and beginning an amazing relationship. You know as well as I do that your relationship with Jesus has got you to where you are today, has delivered you from the things that you struggled with, has set you on a road of victory, and you're walking down that path, even though everything's not perfect and will never be perfect. But at least you know that you have that confidence in knowing that you are born again and heaven is your home. I know that 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 I know, according to John, that I'm born again and heaven is my home. I know that I have eternal life. And so, if you think about John was actually exiled on the island of Patmos. It's a Greek island. I had the privilege of going sailing in the Greek islands last year. We didn't go to Patmos, but my brother-in-law has been there, Sibylle's brother, who's the sailing ship captain. And the Greek islands are beautiful, but getting there is not fun. My first time on a sailboat, and I thought I was going to do well because my father and my grandfather, they were all fishermen in Cape Cod, George's Banks. And so the first day, my brother-in-law announces to me, who's been sailing for decades, says, this is one of the worst weather days ever that I've ever had. 60-mile-an-hour sustained winds. 10 hours on a sailboat. The first hour, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Waves are crashing. The boat is going fast, and I'm holding on for dear life. You know, they're yelling at me to get my harness on and to you know, tie in, you know. So I got that all done. I don't know what to do. And I'm just enjoying it. But all of a sudden, inside me, I start feeling that queasiness going on. And I'm thinking, what's going on here, you know? Not knowing that I should actually, you know, focus my attention on the horizon. Well, you couldn't see the horizon. It was so stormy. I've never been more sick in all my life. I literally bounced my way down to the bedroom, a bit down to my berth, which is this tiny little, you know, door you go through in this bathroom you barely fit in when you're 6'1", you know. And I am just vomiting, you know, dry heaving eventually, praying to die. Literally. I actually thought to myself, when I get off this boat, whenever it is, 10 hours later, I am finding an airport and an airplane. I am going home. This is not my idea of a vacation. Now, if I had done that, my whole German family would have made fun of me for the rest of my life. They would have thought, Bob Bailed. That would have been my new name. Bob Bailed. Not Bob Trombi, Bob Bailed. I can't even imagine back then in John's time, in these wooden boats, you know, going across the Mediterranean in huge waves trying to get to these islands. He's on this island. This is where he eventually dies. But while he's on the island, God opens up heaven and reveals amazing supernatural information for the churches and the future of the church. And one of the things that happened, God opens up heaven to John in Revelation chapter 12 after John sees, you know, the angels before the throne worshiping God and gets all of this, God downloads all this supernatural inspiration and stuff that John is writing down as he's there. which we have today in this book called the Book of Revelation, it says this, that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon meaning Satan and his angels. Satan and his angels, their purpose is and still is today is to lead the world astray. And in verse 10 in Revelation 12, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the Christians, trying to bring accusation against us to stop us in our tracks from sharing the power and the love of God. He wants to accuse you. He'll accuse you of your past. He'll accuse you of your sin, your mistakes, to take the power away or the confidence away that you need in order to move forward, to share your testimony and to affect people's lives with the gospel. But it says in verse 11, Revelation 12, it says they triumphed over him. Come on, somebody say triumphed. That means they won. They won, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Wow. This kind of mentality, this kind of resolve will cause you to never fear when an opportunity comes up to share the gospel with others. Because if many of us will probably not be martyred, although it's coming to America and has already come to Oregon in the way of the Roseburg shootings and the Umpqua Community College shootings, where the gunmen singled out Christians, according to one of the fathers of a wounded student. Before going into spinal surgery, Anastasia Boylan told her brother, the gunman, entered the classroom firing his gun. The professor in the class was shot at point blank and others were hit too. She told her family everyone in the classroom had dropped to the ground. The gunman was reloading his handgun. He ordered the students to stand up and asked if they were Christians. Boylan told her family, and they would stand up, and he said, "Good, because you're Christians, you're going to see God in just about 1 second." And he shot them to death. This is only a few hours away from this building. Better to die for something than to live for nothing. This is the title of an article about the Syrians very close to the island of Patmos where John was exiled. The Syrians that are fleeing and crossing the Mediterranean, hundreds have died making this dangerous crossing. In the words of those fleeing the repression, here's what they say: "If I die at sea, it won't be a problem. At least I won't be tortured. I'm going to take the chance." And we see the pictures of them overfilling these rafts, trying to cross the Mediterranean, which me being there and knowing how those seas are, I'm thinking to myself, that is crazy. But it's their only resort. It's either take the chance and risk my life and get my whole family in this raft. Not only to get them in there is a major miracle in itself, because it costs them thousands of dollars to get a seat in an overcrowded raft, spending all of their savings to cross over to this one Greek island where once they make it there, if they make it there, they actually put them on a ferry and they'll bring them to the Greek mainland, where then from there we see them trying to get up into Europe and into Germany. Better to die for something than to live for nothing. I really believe that this is the thoughts and this is the mentality that we need to have. Are we sold out for the gospel? Do we care so much about our natural life and about the cares of this world that we allow the busyness and the cares of this world to overshadow what we're really called to do, is to share our testimony and to preach about the goodness of God, how Jesus came and saved us and set us free? Do you remember when he set you free? Do you remember how excited you were? Do you remember when someone like your mother said, I don't want to hear the name of Jesus in this house again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that. And I hope more people say that to me. Hallelujah. That's all you talk about is Jesus. I'm like, good, because he's the answer to your problems. Because he's the answer to the world. He's the answer to your eternal life. He will change you from the inside out. He will make you a new creature. All old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. What he did for me, he can do for you. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the story in the book of Acts, if you want to turn there to Acts chapter 6. The disciples, the 12 disciples, they were busy in ministry. That's why I like when Starling comes up there and says, not the pastor's job, that's your job. Hallelujah. That's a true pastor's heart coming there. Amen. And the disciples were in the same situation. They were so busy, they were actually managing the food bank in the book of Acts. All the people were selling their homes, and they were giving the money to the disciples. And this is what was happening, because in that time, that basically, you're going to be thrown out of your home anyway because of persecution, right? They're selling their homes, and they're giving the money to the disciples, and that money was being used to fund the gospel and to feed the Christians. As they're meeting together, they're living in a communal setting, they're praying together, they're doing ministry together, and all those people need to be fed. And so they were distributing the money, and they were distributing the food. They literally was the first food bank. And the disciples, what happens is they got too busy. So they decided, which was a great decision to make, that really their focus needed to be teaching and preaching the gospel. We need to find some faithful people to do this work and take the burden off of us. We don't need to be here every day. Let's delegate. Aha. Delegation is a good thing. You know, if you want to survive in ministry, you have to learn to delegate, especially as a pastor, right? And you got to learn, if you want to grow your business, you have to learn to trust other people, right? That they're going to do what you do. Obviously, you need to train them. But the fear a lot of times is, well, I don't want to get anybody else to help me because they'll never do it like me. Well, then your business is never going to grow. Amen? Or the church will never grow unless you delegate your responsibility. So the disciples did. The feeding team was being put into place. And on Acts 6 and verse 5, it says, this proposal pleased the whole group. They were all in agreement. That's good. That's what we should do. Let's find some people. It says, first of all, they chose Stephen. Stephen, and look at the qualifications. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Wow. Now, they named a bunch of other names right after that, of all the different names of the team. But it's amazing how they put Stephen first. They probably put him in charge because he stood out. Something special about him. Full of faith. When people walk into our church, I want you to sense that City Park Church is full of people that are full of faith. Like they believe in the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. Even though they're going through circumstances in their life, there's that spirit of faith in the house. You walk in and you sense it. You sense something different about these people, that they're believing God for the impossible. Amen. I also, when you walk in, I want you to see that the people of City Park Church, they are full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, bold, confident in who they are in Christ, just willing to do whatever it takes, passionate about the church that Jesus Christ died for, want to build the church, want to be a part of what God is doing, want to be a part of the family, because that's what we are, family together. We're community together, that community of faith, that spirit of faith, that spirit of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what it's all about. They saw this in Stephen, and they chose him for the food bank. Hallelujah. I'd put him as assistant pastor right now. I don't know about food bank. Amen. I get him up here preaching. Acts chapter 6, it says, in verse 8 it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. So Stephen was being used. Now I want you to recognize this. Stephen was not one of the 12 disciples. Stephen was a believer just like you. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a prophet. He was just part of the team. You guys out there? Part of the believers. So the same thing that Stephen was doing, you can do. The only qualification is, you don't got to go through Bible school. You don't need to get a degree. You don't need to be in full-time ministry. You don't need to be the youth pastor. All you need to do is believe. Those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will cast out devils and demons. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to the believer. Not just the ministry gifts. Same power. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs amongst the people. He was out there. He was on the MAX train. Amen. He was in the mall. He was at school. He was preaching the gospel in the hallways. Hallelujah. God was doing great things. But what happens when you obey God? Always expect it, because it's always going to happen, because the devil does not like it when you get full of the Holy Ghost. The devil does not like it when you become confident in who you are in Christ. He doesn't like it when you begin to open up your mouth and share your testimony. Does not like it. He's going to shut you down. He's going to cause guilt to come. The condemnation arrows will start to fly at your head. He'll remind you of your past. He'll lower your confidence level. And when you used to be bold, all of a sudden you start shrinking back. As pastors, we can see people start shrinking back from church. And we think to ourselves, I wonder what's going on. What's happening in their lives? Call you up and say, hey, is there anything we can help you with? I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? Where's the devil lying? Where's the attacks coming from? Why? Because we want you to be full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? You know what the issue is, like we've talked about, those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, we leak. You got to continually be filled. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, the Lord, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I spoke in other tongues. When was that? Well, that was in 1932. Well, good for you. Well, you've been leaking every day since. Amen. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, which means being continually filled, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Last night, Starlene talked about joy, and she talked about Paul and Silas, and there's two things that they did when they were thrown into jail. They prayed and they sang. They prayed and they sang. What were they doing? Stirring up the joy. Stirring up the joy. You got to get filled up. You got to fill yourself up. You know why? Here's the reason why God did that, because he wants you to be ever dependent upon him on a daily basis. He could have filled you up for a year. When you initially got filled, he could have filled you up for a 10-year period, and then there was an expiration date 10 years later. But he didn't do that. Why? Because he wants you to be ever dependent upon him. He wants you to trust him every day. Every day go to him. You ever notice that God has a plan for your life, but he never tells you everything or all the details? Why? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to listen to his voice. He wants to be intimately involved in your life on a regular basis, a daily basis. In the morning, Lord, I hear your voice. In the morning, Lord, I wait in expectation, David said. Hallelujah. Now, Stephen, opposition actually fired him up. Stephen's like, hey, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you say against me. I don't care what my friends are saying. I don't care what the Pharisees and the Sadducees are saying. I'm not going to go hide like the other Christians, because there's Christians hiding, including some of the disciples. Stephen's out there. He's on the streets of Jerusalem doing miracles and signs and wonders, while the majority of the disciples are hiding somewhere, and the rest of the believers. And the Romans are looking for him, but Stephen's like, listen, I don't have anything else to live for. I'm ready to do this thing. And he's doing it. But what happens? He gets arrested. They bring him into the council. Chambers, the Sanhedrin are there. They lie against him. They conspire against him so that they can kill him and get him off the streets because he's causing this mess to continue. The whole Roman Empire was trying to stop this whole Jesus thing, but it got worse after Jesus rose from the dead. They killed him thinking it was over, but it wasn't over. Because now the Holy Spirit is being poured out on everyone. Jesus said this. He said, it's beneficial for me to go away. Why? Because when I go away, I'm going to send my Spirit and I'm going to indwell every single person and empower every single person. You don't need to be with me by my side. I'm going to come and live in you. And I'm going to work through you. And greater things will you do because I'm out of here. I'm giving you the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That word power is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. There's dynamite power living on the inside of you waiting to explode. Woo, come on. Anybody out there this morning? I'm fired up. I don't know about you. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. They seized Stephen and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified against them. Has that ever happened to you? This fellow never stops speaking, in verse 13, against this holy place and against the law. He never stops speaking. And then what happens? Stephen starts preaching a sermon to him. He's like, okay, here I am. This must be the will of God. God has placed me right here, and I'm going to give it to you good. He basically said, you bunch of scumbag. You killed all the prophets. You unbelieving whitewashed sepulchers. You didn't believe all the prophets that came before Jesus, and you didn't believe in Jesus either, and you killed him. Sent from heaven, the Son of God. Stephen preaches this message to him. It says, all those who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face, listen to this, was like the face of an angel. Talk about the power of God. The face of an angel. Here's what Stephen said in verse 51. Because when I said the word scumbag, y'all looked at me like, ooh, did he say that? You know, Stephen was that bold. Look what he said here. He said, you stiff-necked people. You stiff-necked people. He said, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. Even though you've been naturally circumcised, your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. Here's what he said. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Somebody say, ooh. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this did not make them happy. They basically took him. They dragged him out of the building. They brought him to where they stoned people. Saul, the head Pharisee, he was one of the motivators here. He's actually there motivating this whole execution. And they begin to pick up stones. And this is what happened. This is the testimony. Verse 55 says, but Stephen, again, the testimony of Stephen that's written forever in the biblical history book called the Bible. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Someone say, full of the Holy Spirit. Looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The gift of the Spirit in operation here is the discerning of spirits, where you actually see into the spirit realm. The gift of the Spirit, just like John opened, skies opened up and he saw the throne room of God and the angels worshiping before the throne, through the discerning of spirits, The same thing happens with Stephen. The heavens open, and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And you know what they did? They didn't want to hear it anymore, like my mom. It says they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. Can you imagine the scene? "I don't want to hear it anymore," rushing at him. They dragged him out of the city. They began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul is present, motivating this execution. And he's kind of standing there like the leader. And they're like, "Here, will you hold my coat while I get some stones?" Paul's holding coats. Sure, bring me a coat. Kill him. Throw the stones. This is a glorious way to go. Because forever will Stephen be known amongst all of us who are believers. Forever written down in the Bible. In verse 59, it says, "While they were stoning him." Anybody have a rock thrown at you? Not a fun thing. Or something thrown at you. Stephen prayed. This was his prayer. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and he cried out. This is amazing. He said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said that, he fell asleep. In the midst of him being executed, he prays that God would forgive those who are executing him, just like Jesus. Same power, same life lived in Stephen that lived in Christ. One of the biggest problems with America today is that many of us don't have much to live for, but more of us have nothing to die for. Whether we live or die, I will preach the gospel till my dying day and share of the goodness of God. My greatest joy, and will continue to be, are those who we lead to Christ and who become born again through our personal ministry or our ministry as a church. We are called to do two things as a church. We're called to preach the gospel to every creature, and we're called to teach and disciple those who have gotten born again. If the church isn't doing those two things, then the church is not a church, because that's what we're called to do. Thank God for the fun. Love having fun. Love the social events. Love the Easter egg hunt. Love all the fun things we do together. But really, our job, our calling, our mandate is to win people to Christ. Amen? I want to encourage you this week to pray. God, open up an opportunity for me to share my testimony. God, If it's a coworker, Lord, help me, Lord, to find a specific time to share with them this week. I pray that God places somebody so strongly on your heart that by the Holy Spirit, you just can't avoid that. I pray that every waking moment, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing that person to your mind. Because the problem with American culture is, and the same in the church, is we've got time. Got time. They're only 40. I've got 40 years. I can lead them to Christ then. The problem is we don't have time, because there's a devil out there who's looking to steal, kill, and destroy and take people from this earth early. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where God told you to witness to somebody and they died prematurely. That'll rock your world. That'll wake you up. Whenever the opportunity arises, I want to encourage you to share the goodness of God that's in you. to share your testimony. And not just share your testimony. Learn how to bring it to the conclusion and learn how to ask, would you like to pray with me to receive Christ today? It's simple. A simple prayer. The greatest miracle that ever takes place is when someone becomes a new creature in Christ. All it takes is 1 second where they confess Jesus as Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Simplest salvation plan. It is free. It's been paid for by Jesus. Amen? All we have to do is preach the gospel. You won't always lead someone to Christ in sharing your testimony. But please know this, that every time you do share, it's another seed planted. And when you water that seed through prayer, the Holy Spirit will work on that person, believe me. Like those two young guys standing at the beach talking about being born again. I'll never forget that. I don't know who they are, but someday I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to meet them. I'm going to meet them. I'm going to say, Hampton Beach, when I was 14 years old, you asked me this question. I became born again. As a pastor, I've been in ministry for over 25 years. You had a part to play in that. Hallelujah. Last story I want to tell is this. I remember our pastor in Oklahoma, Kenneth Hagin Jr., some guy had come off the streets. He was there in town on business. And he'd come off the streets, wanted to go to a church. So he showed up and sat in the back, went through the service. And the pastor at the end prayed a prayer. And he said, those of you who don't know Christ, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. Few people raised their hands, but then he prayed an ending prayer and said, if you didn't receive Christ today, I pray now that you'll not be able to sleep, eat, or drink until you receive Christ as your Savior. That guy left there that day. For a whole week, he went away back home and came back on business the week later. For the whole week, he gives the testimony that I could not sleep, eat, or drink for a whole week. He said, oh my gosh, I need to get back to that church. He showed up again the week later at the church. Pastor Hagin gave the altar call. The guy comes running forward to give his life to Christ. He gets radically saved, filled with the Spirit. He eventually ends up going to Bible school there and going into ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see people just run forward in our church to get saved. I need Jesus. Please give me Jesus today. I need to know that I have eternal life. Hallelujah. How many here, you have family members that aren't saved that are going to hell? Come on. We all do. Come on. Let's start praying for them. Let's start believing for them. Stay filled with the Holy Ghost like Stephen and God will use you. Hallelujah. Recharge yourself with your prayer language. Get in God's word. And say, God, use me this week. God, use me this week. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you don't know Jesus or you've walked away from the Lord and you need to recommit your life to him, I want to pray this prayer this morning. Please pray this after me. Let's all pray together to help those who are praying for the first time or rededicating their lives. Say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess Jesus as my Lord. I believe that you raised him from the dead, that he's alive. I commit my life to him, and I thank you that right now I am born again. I am a Christian, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand up. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. Starlene, your daughter, Anise, right? Tasha, guys, come forward.